Hey everyone, welcome to the Progressive Vibe. I am your host, Dodrick. Today's date is December 12th, 2021. This is season 5, episode 12. Quick reminder, this is the last episode of season 5. We will be back for season 6 next year. So this is a wrap-up of season 5, and this is the last episode of the year. It's been a blast. It's been super, super, it's just been a super humbling experience on the support that, the show has received. And for that, I'm forever grateful. And I will get into more of that at the end of the show, but we still have one more short show to do, guys. So let's do it. So this is season 5, as I said, episode 12. The title of this episode, Messaging is Important, Actions are Necessary. So in today's show, I wanted to talk about a piece from Business Insider that reads, AOC says the idea that we're not Trump is enough for Democrats to win elections is deeply demoralizing. So we're going to get into that piece. To quickly say something about that, messaging is important. Nobody's saying that it's not. You have to be able to convey what you want to your constituents. And messaging is important. But, however, most Americans, including myself, think taking bold actions will result in not only right now success, but long-term success for whatever party's in charge, whether that's the Republican Party or the Democratic Party. You have to not only be able to convey your message, but you have to actually deliver on your message. And I feel that the Democratic Party has been struggling in that, and we're going to get into that, which is the article, and we're going to get into polling numbers that also emphasize what it is that the Democrats are struggling on. But quick shout out to the listeners of the show. I wanted to say, always thank you for liking, for sharing, for donating to the show. However you choose to show support to the show, it is greatly appreciated. As you know, sharing the Progressive Vibe on social media is the most effective way to get our message out, and it's all totally free of charge. Also, the Progressive Vibe is on all platforms. You can listen and get your podcasts. That's Apple Podcasts, that's Google Podcasts, that's Good Pods, wherever, Spotify, wherever you choose to listen to us. We should be on that platform, which is super, super cool. Last but not least, if you want to, if you have something you want to discuss or me to discuss on the podcast, or if you want to say something referring to the podcast, you can follow me on Twitter at Dottie D. Excuse me, at Dottie underscore Vibe. That's Dodi underscore Vibe. You can use that to get in, to add me, to follow me. I do follow back. You can use the hashtag TPVibe on Twitter to, you know, reenact with the show. You know, just send things to me to discuss. Or if you want to, you know, if you listen to a certain episode and you have a comment or some type of response to the show, you can use that hashtag and I'll know that you've been, you know, listening to the Progressive Vibe, which is super, super cool. It's been some listeners who've did that. But if you choose not to, that's fine too. That's fine too. How, like I said, however you show support, all of it is greatly appreciated. Also, you can use a contact form on the show's website to send me a message directly to my email. The website you can do that from is theprogressivevibe18497036.com. www.thebrandingcoach.wordpress.com. That's to send it to contact form. Also, if you want to stay in touch with the show and not miss an episode, you can enter your email address in that box on the website to get every new episode delivered straight to your inbox. So once I post online, you should be able to get a direct email that's stating, hey, the Progressive Vibe has recorded a podcast. So that's pretty cool. Last but not least, if you want to help us make the show and sustain future episodes, we currently have two ways you can do that. You can become a monthly supporter. We already have several monthly supporters for the show. Super, super cool. And it's super easy. You can do that from the show's website. Again, that's the Progressive Vibe, 184-970-366.wordpress.com. Also, the support button is on the link that I post for the podcast. So wherever I'm posting the podcast at, you can hit that direct link and it's going to take you to the Progressive Vibe podcast website. And underneath the title of the show's name will be a support button. You can hit that support button and you can choose the type tier package you want to support the show. So that's super cool. Also, the second way you can do it is donating to the show's Cash App. And the tag is Dahdee D92. That's Dahdee92. Again, you don't have to donate to the show. If you like it, share it. That does a whole lot just by itself. And however you choose to support the show, as I said, is greatly appreciated. On that note, guys, after this break, we will get into today's main show. I'll see you on the other side. Guys, welcome back. So let's get right into this article piece produced by Business Insider that reads, AOC says the idea that we're not Trump is enough for Democrats to win elections is deeply demoralizing. Before I read this, I'm going to say AOC is 100% correct. You can't just say you're the party that's not for Trump. That's not going to do anything. Now, the title of this episode is Messaging is Important. And it is important. But that is not good messaging. You have to produce actions. You have to give people a incentive. You can't just rely on words to change people's minds about how they feel about the party in charge, whether that's Republicans or Democrats. But I digress. I'm going to save my rant for the next segment. Let's check this article out. It says, Representative AOC said, the idea that voters should opt for Democrats simply because they are not former President Donald Trump is a deeply demoralizing message. In an interview with the New York Times that was published Sunday, the New York Congresswoman said Democrats could be in trouble if they don't deliver on the promises made to constituents. AOC said, quote, the talking points are not enough. You've got to give people something to work with my communities. And if you're not, how can I make the argument that they should turn out again? Question mark. She lamented cuts and compromises that were made in the Build Back Better Act, the $2 trillion social spending package, and the bipartisan infrastructure bill, as not following through on promises. She goes on to say, quote, let's not go around and say we're going to replace every lead pipe in this country. because according to the bipartisan infrastructure plan, that is not going to happen. That has not been funded. AOC added, voter turnout will suffer if Democrats make promises they don't keep. She said, quote, and this notion that saying we're not Trump is enough. This is such a deeply demoralizing message, she told New York Times. It goes on to say progressives and centrist Democrats have clashed over Biden's domestic agenda, especially on the social spending package that underwent major cuts after opposition from Senator Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema over the summer. It reads, the bill includes funds for universal preschool, child tax credits, and the expansion of Medicare, among other items. It passed the House Friday and now heads to the Senate, where it needs the support of every Democrat in order to pass. The reason that it needs every Democrat in order to pass is because no Republicans is signing on to this legislation. And a final quote here is, AOC told the Times that if the bill passes the Senate, as it is, the Democrats, quote, have a shot to go back to our communities and say we deliver, end quote. I will post this along with the upload of the podcast so you guys can check it out amongst yourselves. But, you know, AOC said it's not enough for Democrats to say that they're not Trump. I totally agree on that. It's not enough to say that you're the opposition party. It's just not enough. She said voter turnout will suffer if Democrats make promises that they don't keep. Again, going back to the messaging. Yes, messaging is important, but if you're going to say all the right things and then not keep your word that you're going to do those things that you've messaged, that you conveyed to your constituents, then yes, you're going to suffer at the polls. Your party is going to suffer as a result. And she also said passing the Build Back Better Act would mean they actually delivered on something. Even though, as it said in an article, there were cuts and compromises from the corporate Democrats, such as Senator Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema. We've talked about it. We discussed it. And there have been significant cuts to the bill. And now it seems, again, it could change, but now it seems that the bill might not even be passed. Even after the cuts, even the things that you took out of the bill that most Americans wanted in the bill. Remind you, progressives were backing Biden's agenda before he slashed his own agenda along with the corporate Democrats. But the agenda that Biden was running on leading up to his presidency were semi-progressive policies. And now they have been derailed by his administration, members of his own party, And now it's starting to affect his poll numbers. And after this break, we are going to get into those poll numbers. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Hey, guys. Welcome back from the break. So let's get right into the discussion on this. As I said in the last segment, I wanted to provide you guys some context and a look inside of the poll numbers of the Democrats, specifically Biden. And we have some poll numbers on the Republican side as well that I wanted to share with you guys, because 2022 is literally right around the corner. And not too far off from that is the 2024 presidential election. And the things that the Democrats are doing now are going to give us an insight on what's going to transpire come midterms and potentially the presidential election. And it's not looking too good for the Democrats. Now, usually on a off election year, the opposition party usually does better in the midterms, whether it's a Democratic president or a Republican president. The opposition party, who's not in power, tends to do well in the midterms. That's just historically speaking. Now, it could be different this year, or next year rather, but the way that this year has went down, I kind of doubt it. And I'm not saying that the administration, the Biden administration, hasn't did anything, because me personally, they've did a better job on addressing COVID than the Trump administration. But you have to do more than what you are doing, especially if your messaging is that you're going to do more for the American people when you're president or when you're in power, specifically towards the working class of this country, that you're going to do more, that you're going to provide more. You can't just message on saying what you're going to do. You have to provide action. You just have to. And my overall perception of the Democratic Party is they talk a lot of good stuff, but when it's time to actually do the good stuff, they're just as worse as the Republicans. When it comes to actually doing the necessary. And the reason I say that is because the Republicans, for example, I don't agree with their politics. I don't agree with their policies for the most part. But what they do, what they do convey to their constituents is action. Now, it might not be the appropriate action. It might not be action that majority of the country even wants. But they try to provide to their base. And it's usually not policy, because in the recent years, I'm not going to get into the past, but presently, they just don't provide attention to policy. They just don't. To me, the Republican Party is more based on culture war. And that might be sufficient to some people out there, but not majority. Let's be real. If you're a Republican that listens to this podcast, are you really going to say you're more so with the cultural war arguments or the policy arguments? And I'm willing to say most Americans are worried about policy, whether you're a Democrat or Republican. And my take from where I'm sitting is we have to have elected officials being dedicated on wanting to educate the people about important issues facing the country, facing their families, their friends, their loved ones, and to give them a progressive perspective outside of a two-party system, Democrat or Republican. And if that party's able to provide that, that's going to go a long way. That's what people are looking for. We have to have elected officials convey coalition politics. What do I mean when I say coalition politics? We have to bring people together under one umbrella. We have politics today that drift further and further away from the neighborhoods and the working families, and closer to the business community, culture war debates, and special money interests. Things that get away from the root cause of problems that ordinary Americans face today. And I say all of that to say, we need more of a grassroots approach to politics in America. It's just that simple. The most important political work that can be done is making door-to-door contact, speaking directly to your constituents, and answering their questions. What are people concerned about? Healthcare coverage. Well, we need to convey that to the people who have concerns about that, which is most Americans. Higher wages. Canceling student debt. Addressing climate change. We can't just say it when we go on mainstream media. We actually have to lay the foundation for it. We actually have to propose and vote upon in a necessary way legislation that's going to address the needs of most Americans in this country. And I just feel like we're not going to be able to do that if we have people within the Democratic Party. And now, again, I'm not a Republican. I'm an independent. But I'm for democracy. And what I see taking place in the Democratic Party is a bunch of corporate politicians that are putting their special interest, meaning their donors' interest, first, and not the American people. thus is going to end very, very badly for the Democratic Party. Politically, we are facing a corrupt campaign finance system, if you really want me to be specific about it, where the wealthy are able to buy elections. In this case, that results in more and more people becoming, as what AOC said in that piece that we just read last segment, demoralized. More and more people will become demoralized, and low income and young people won't vote. If you're so concerned on people not voting, if you're so worried about the turnout, then you have to be able to provide things to people that's going to make them want to turn out within your base and not in your base. If you can materially benefit people's lives for the better, you're going to be able to turn out not only your base, but people who have not maybe voted, people who are probably on the opposing side. You're going to be able to gain more traction that way. And that's that, to me, that is the problem that needs to be fixed. So I said I had some poll numbers for you guys that I wanted to tell you about. And here they are. This is by poll trackers. They track political polls from everything, from news outlets to research institutions. You can actually follow poll trackers on Twitter. And it says 2022 generic congressional ballot poll. Republicans 44%, Dems 34%. Republicans have a plus 10 net gain. And as we were saying, typically during an off election year, the opposition party usually does better. It says 2024 national general election poll, former President Trump, 42%. President Biden, 38%. Trump has a plus 4 net gain over Biden. It says Trump, 42%. Kamala Harris, if she was to run for president, 38%. Trump also has a net gain of 4 points over Kamala Harris. Let's keep going. It says 2024 national Republican primary poll. This means who is the top dog within the Republican base. This is not a shock. It says Trump leads it 67%. Following, you have Pence at 9%, DeSantis at 8%, Nikki Haley at 4%, Rubio at 3%, Ted Cruz at 3%, Mike Pompeo 1%, Tim Scott 1%. And anybody's shocked by this, then you have clearly have not been following politics. It says the 2024 national general election poll, if it was held without Trump, DeSantis would be the overall top dog at 30%. Following, you will have Pence at 25%, Ted Cruz at 13%, Rubio at 8%, Nikki Haley 7%, Mike Pompeo 4%, Tim Scott 4%. So if Trump was not to run, which I think he is going to run in 2024, but if he was not to run, DeSantis, who to me has been trying to copy the style of Trump, in my estimation. I don't know about you guys. I'm curious. But to me, he's just been trying to piggyback off of Trump. And so if Trump wasn't to run on the Republican ticket, DeSantis would have the top notch. And that's just, is it Pence just like embarrassed at this point? Pence was vice president for Donald Trump. And even if Donald Trump didn't run, he still wouldn't be the top choice after all of the butt kissing. I'm going to keep it PG. But anyway, that's another story for another day. Let's keep going with these polls. It says 2024 National Democratic Primary Poll. So this would be the Democratic primary ticket if it was today. Biden is at the top with 36%. Harris, 16%. Klobuchar, 10%. Sanders, which is, I'm very surprised, Bernie Sanders, 5%, AOC, 5%, Booker, 5%, Abrams, 5%, Warren, 4%, Buttigieg, 3%, Whitmer, 1%. And before I read you guys this last poll, can anybody tell a difference within the enthusiasm? And that's my thing, too, with the enthusiasm. There are more people willing to get out and vote for the Republican ticket than they are the Democratic ticket. The 2024 National Republican ticket, Trump got 67%. The 2024 National Democratic ticket, Biden only has 36%. Not even 40%. And that should say something. That should be a red flag to the Democratic Party to stop and think about, why are we not generating enthusiasm like the Republican base? Last but not least, it says 2024 National Democratic primary poll without Biden. So this would be if Biden was not to run for president. It says Harris with 31%. Bernie Sanders second with 15%. Buttigieg 8%. AOC 7%. Warren 7%. Booker 5%, Abrams 5%, Klobuchar 5%, Whitmer 2%. And just to put a bow on this, the Democrats are in trouble because nothing gets people more angry than a party that says all the right things, that wants to do the things that are popular with the majority of Americans. Again, can anybody remember when the Republican president or the Republican nominee for president ever won the last time they actually won the popular vote? It's been years upon years upon years. And the Democrats always win the popular vote because they always convey the right messaging. But they never deliver on the messaging. Thus makes them the most, in my opinion, and this is me being a progressive, this is what makes them the most unlike party within the two, because they say all the right things and they never act upon them. And I'm going to leave it with this before we go to break. I want to ask my audience, I want to ask the listeners, is racism just about irrational prejudice tendencies? We know that. We know what America was founded on. We know the history standpoint of racism, of segregation, of slavery. We know all of that. But is there another factor that lies in that? Including, is there an economic benefit in keeping us divided? We have to ask ourselves that question. There are people within government, Republican or Democrat, that wants to keep ordinary Americans divided because it would be better from an economic standpoint. On their side. And I want to just say, we can't allow politicians to keep dividing us. We have to look for solutions. We have to provide those solutions. That's what's going to break that culture war. That's what's going to break that division. Now, there's going to always be racist people. There's going to always be bigoted people. That's just the world we live in. But we have to provide policies that's going to progress us as a society. When we come back, guys, we will have the social media break of the show. You don't want to miss it. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Hey, guys, welcome back. This is the social media break of the show. I hope you do enjoy. So Jamal Bowman, who is a Justice Democrat, progressive Democrat, was commenting on the Oregonian that was saying a Massachusetts cannabis company is claiming it set a world record when it baked a marijuana-infused brownie that weighed 850 pounds. That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. Jamal Bowman commented and said, meanwhile, we have people in jail and in debt for marijuana charges. Free them all. I couldn't agree more. I think it's awesome that the country is becoming more pro-marijuana, and it should have been already federally legalized in the United States a long time ago. But I just feel like as the years progress, they're not going to have a choice based on the data that shows how many people in this country smoke marijuana, white, black, it don't matter, rich, poor, that they're going to have to legalize it eventually. And, you know, Jamal Bowman made a great point. Yes, it should be legalized, but we can't just legalize marijuana and not address people who've been incarcerated and in debt due to marijuana charges. You have to be able to expunge their records. Obviously, I'm talking about solely based on marijuana charges. You can't have people in the public be able to use weed, use marijuana and have people who've gotten incarcerated over marijuana. No, they should be able to get let out if that's like the only thing that's keeping them incarcerated. That obviously makes no sense. This is from Nina Turner. She says, in this country, 57% of Americans hold at least $1,000 of medical debt. No one should have to go into debt to stay alive. It's immoral. Healthcare should be free and everyone should have it, period. Hashtag Universal Health Coverage Day. Great point. And yes, it is Universal Health Coverage Day, and majority of Americans can't afford healthcare coverage. It's really sad stuff, but good point from Nina Turner. Bernie Sanders says, today, our younger generations have a lower standard of living than their parents did at their age. Meanwhile, the cost of housing is 72% higher, and the cost of college is 163% higher than it was 20 years ago after adjusting for inflation. The time for action is now. And I'm going to leave it here at this last statement by Bernie Sanders. He says, the tornado destruction in Kentucky, Arkansas, Illinois, Missouri, Mississippi, and Tennessee is devastating. He said, Jane and I send our deepest condolences to the families who lost loved ones, and we thank the first responders for around the clock to save lives. Well stated by Bernie Sanders. I also echo those sentiments and send my prayers, condolences to the states that were affected with the devastating tornadoes. And again, yes, thank you for the first responders working around the clock to, as Bernie Sanders said, save people lives. It's forever grateful of your service. On that note, that's going to wrap up the social media break of the show. When we come back, we will close out the show. Stay tuned and we will be right back. Welcome back. That's going to wrap up today's show. That's going to wrap up season 5. I want to obviously thank the listeners of the show for supporting the Progressive Vibe. First and foremost, without your support, there wouldn't be a Progressive Vibe podcast. Thank you for the kind words that you've expressed to me via text message, via email, via Twitter, and so forth. Thank you for the people who are not considered progressives for giving this show a chance and giving me feedback. It's a team effort. No one has all the right answers. No one is perfect. But at the end of the day, we are all human. And I feel like we all have the same like-minded common goals in life. And I feel like the more we're able to convey that message on this show with the help of you guys, the more that we're going to be able to change a lot of people's hearts and minds out there. So again, the credit goes to the listeners of the show. We will be back stronger than ever in season 6 of next year. I hope everyone has a wonderful Christmas, whatever holiday that you tend to celebrate during these holiday times. I want to say Happy New Year. See you in 2022. And also, Good Pods, every time I get an update, I want to relay it to the audience because you guys make that happen. Good Pods Podcast reached out to me and said that we are number 2 in the top 100 independent politics chart. Number 2. We're number 20 in the top 100 politics chart, and we're number 21 in the top 100 independent news chart. And again, this could not happen without the support of the Progressive Vibe podcast listeners. I love you. The coffee mugs are going to come. I have not forgot about the coffee mugs. Everything's a work in transition, guys. Everything is a work in progress. But I'm glad that you guys allow me the time and are so chill. I honestly have the chillest audience. And I really, really do appreciate you guys. Yes, the coffee mugs are coming soon. Other things are in the works. We're going to progress together, and we have to continue to fight the good fight and stay positive along doing that. And on that note, guys, that's going to wrap up the season 5. It's going to wrap up season 5 of the Progressive Vibe. As I said, everybody have a wonderful holiday. Happy New Year. Until then, stay positive, stay progressive. I love you all. Peace, love. Spread that.